Welcome to another episode of Words and Wine, where I talk about business, books, and big questions. And drink wine. I'm Lauren Kress. Tonight, we're talking about marketing science and specifically how brands grow. So some of you may have seen earlier in the week or last week, I purchased a copy of this book, part one and two. Actually, I've only gotten through part one so far, How Brands Grow by Professor Byron Sharp. It's really important for business owners because there's basically five key areas of a business, and Josh Kaufman goes through this in the Personal MBA. So you have your sales, you have your marketing, you have to create value, you have to deliver value, and you have your finance. They're the big key areas of business. So marketing is one of those five areas that you really need to make sure you have a good understanding of. You may have seen the speech that I did on the ABCs of starting a business last year. If not, it's available on YouTube for you to watch. And one of the key things that I talk about is being a scientist and also not being a scientist. So knowing when to apply the laws of science in the space of marketing. What's really interesting is that marketers talk about being data-driven, but they're being data-driven a lot of the time at the wrong level. So what I've found is that marketers tend to talk about marketing and marketing science and the science of marketing in relation to their specific business and looking at measurable outcomes for the specific business or the specific problem that they're looking at. Now, that's one part of being data-driven. The other part is also to look at the laws of marketing, what we see happening time and time again across industries, across the world. And this is what How Brands Grow talks about. They start the book with a list of laws, and I love this. So the first law they talk about is double jeopardy law. Double jeopardy law states that brands with less market share have far fewer buyers, and these buyers are slightly less loyal. Loyalty is not the thing that should be driving the strategy. What needs to be driving our strategy is market penetration, is getting out there and growing the brand. The bigger the brand size, the higher the market penetration, the higher the market share, and the loyalty will increase a little bit. But if we're measuring things based on loyalty and saying, well, we need more loyal customers, and that's what our focus is, we're not going to see the outcomes that we desire in terms of increasing the bottom dollar. I really like this analogy that they draw in the beginning between marketing and architecture. So what they say is that architecture is also a creative field, but that doesn't mean you can just build a building that's going to fall down. And it's the same with marketing. Just because it's a creative profession doesn't mean that we can't be guided by the empirical laws dictated by the data, dictated by things that are occurring over and over again. The other one I really like is this usage drives attitude, or they have in brackets, I love my mum and you love yours. So this idea that buyers are generally going to have similar attitudes about their preferred brand. So a lot of marketers will talk about their brand in terms of saying, our brand has something special about it that makes our customers like us more. And when they do surveys, they say, oh, look at all these things that our customers are saying. But when you start comparing that business to other businesses and competitors, you actually see that these ideas are mimicked across these different brands. So the implication of this is that your competitors' buyers are also your buyers. There isn't something special that differentiates you, and therefore their buyers are up for grabs as well. What this also means is in terms of, and I've talked about this before as well, the customer base is not different amongst these different competitors. That's not how you're going to differentiate yourself to grow. You should be targeting the whole market. Who is that whole market? Understanding that and making sure you're targeting them instead of saying, oh, we're only going to target this segment of that market. That doesn't enable you to really grow. It's sort of a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I use the example of the protein shake that's going to market, and the marketer says, okay, we're going to target young millennials. And the question is, well, why are you only targeting young millennials? Why don't you just target whoever is in this market? Everyone who's in this market is up for grabs. We need to be getting out there and talking to those customers, all of them, not a specific segment of that. because really there's no evidence that that actually works. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy in that if you're trying to appeal to a particular segment of the market, then they will buy more from you, not the other way around. So being led by these assumptions can actually have a profound impact on your business growth, because you can't grow as much if you're only limiting the market that you're actually trying to reach. There's this other point that they make about niche, about being a niche brand or a niche business. And I think this is a really interesting thing. So what they're saying is that, well, actually, niche is a nice way of saying you're a small brand. No one wants to say, oh, we're a small business, we're a small brand, and we don't have great profits. Niche is actually very rarely the case. What they found is that niche just means that you're not getting out there and marketing to everyone that you could be marketing to. So there's these really important evidence-based concepts that apply to every business. And like I said, I think what's happening a lot of the time is marketers are looking too granular and focusing on a particular campaign and the data from a campaign to lead their assumptions, instead of going back to the drawing board and going, okay, empirically, from the data, current data existing, what do we know to be true? That's our starting point. And then maybe in some cases that will change, but that should be where we start from, which is what a scientist does. So what a scientist does is they look at all the existing evidence for the area that they're interested in. And they say, okay, what is the current hypothesis of what should happen? And then you can run some tests on that. But for instance, we will start with a generalization and then we will go from there, rather than what a lot of marketers are doing is starting from scratch and then trying to be led by their particular tactics in order to reinforce their assumptions. So I like to think about it this way. If you were a homeopath, now there's no evidence that homeopathy actually works. It's basically just giving people water with a very, very small amount of something that's actually really bad for you. It's watered down so much that it's basically non-existent. You give people water. Essentially, at best, it's a placebo. And you say, this will make your cold better. 5 days later, the person's cold's better. So you go, ah, this worked. Look at what we did. This water, it has magical properties. No. That person would have gotten better anyway, but you haven't tested that. So we set up experiments in an empirical way where we look at what data is already out there, and then if we want to test something, we can do that and see if that's actually what we see in our own market. But what you don't want to do is just start from scratch, be led by assumptions. So with the protein shake example, you start marketing to millennials, it works, you go, oh, look, all these millennials are buying our product. Oh, it must be a millennial product. No, what's actually happened is that you haven't marketed to everyone else and you're not trying to appeal to those other people. So it's not saying that you shouldn't target different people in different ways. It's just saying that don't only focus on one segment. Why would you do that? Why should your brand only appeal to one sort of person if we know that buying attitudes aren't really reflected by that? The last assumption I'll walk you through is one that I've seen put out by a lot of digital marketing agencies, this idea of the 80-20 rule, so that 20% of your audience spend 80% on your brand. Consistently, this has been shown to not be true. At best, the top 20%, the heavy users, will make up 50, maybe a little bit more than 50% of the bottom dollar. So there's another half of the market up for grabs in sometimes or rare users. Now, these guys use the example of Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola is something the average person will purchase 12 times in a year. So that's once a month. That's actually what makes up a big chunk of their market, is sometimes and rare users. Now, the people who are heavy Coke drinkers are going to keep drinking Coke unless they die or become extremely ill and they can't drink it anymore, or they're told to cut back, for instance. But generally speaking, that would have nothing to do with brand and brand loyalty anyway. So that's not the customer you need to pay too much attention to in reality. The customers actually that make up a huge area of your market are small customers who buy from you occasionally. But that adds up, that stacks up to a lot of money. So This idea that we have to market to heavy users, that we should treat them better, is not, or we should treat them as preferred customers, is not really true. Actually, acquisition and market acquisition is such an important area of marketing, where customer retention, customer loyalty aren't as important as most marketers assume them to be. So this has been a fantastic book for me to just really make sure that as a marketer myself, I really understand all of those laws, and everything that I'm doing in my strategy is evidence-based. So how do you get market penetration? How do you get out there and spread the word about your product or service? How do you grow your market share in relation to your competitors? And that's something that I'll talk a bit more about next time. I'd love for anyone who is wondering whether or not they are assuming things to leave their comments below. Has there been something that you've done before that you thought would work and it didn't? Maybe it's a customer loyalty program that didn't work. Or maybe it's that you spent a whole heap of marketing dollars that just didn't return. So please leave your comments below. Feel free to ask me questions in preparation for 2 weeks' time. Have a great Easter, and I'll talk to you soon.